It is 8:10 p.m. on September 9th, 2019, year of our Lord. And we are, I don't know, 5 hours removed from Keiko just absolutely dominating. Like, I was trying to think of a way to kind of talk about him and what this has been like. And the way that I've come is, well, you know what? My name is Joe Fortunato. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Michael Murphy. You're listening to Bantering the Blue Shirts, the flagship edition. Mike and I didn't even talk about it, but I think we're doing two shows this week.
Yeah, might as well.
Pretty sure we have enough questions for you fucking slouches. And we are 5 hours removed from Keiko just dominating Traverse City. And this is what I've come to think about, Michael. Imagine your friend sets you up on a blind date, tells you this girl's beautiful, she's smart, she's funny, she's awesome. And you're sitting there and you're like, man, like, there's no way somebody like that exists. And then you go to the restaurant, hopefully something nice. Hopefully you didn't take her to Chili's, you cheap fuck. Maybe you went to the nice little corner Italian place.
Hey, I like Chili's.
And you go over there and you look, and there's this really pretty girl sitting at a table by herself, and you're like, there's no way that's her. And it's her. I mean, we could not have hyped up Keiko more from really when he was taken in June to now. Everybody expected this tournament to be just him absolutely blowing away the competition. Then he got sick for 2 days. He didn't play for 2 games. He was kind of on and off. We didn't know if he was going to play today. And he played. He had a quiet 20 minutes and then just did everything and anything you could have possibly expected. I mean, I fucked up the beginning of the show. That's how impressed I was. I've said the F word 3 times. We're not even 2 minutes and 8 seconds in yet. That's how impressed I've been with him.
Killing me, Smalls.
Well, we marked the show explicit for a reason, so.
Yeah, because of you and your potty mouth.
Do you have anything to say right now, Michael?
Yeah, it was very, it was so disappointing when, you know, everyone was amped up. This is the most anticipated Traverse City in probably either of our, you know, lifetimes. Definitely within this generation of players. And having to hear, like, oh no, Capo can't play in game one with illness, can't play game two with illness. And then, of course, that first game the Rangers played, Joe, where, was it a 7-4 loss? That was not fun. And, you know, going from, oh no, was it 6-2? My mistake, yeah. The Rangers won 7-4.
It felt worse.
Down. Yeah. But it did feel pretty terrible. Like, Rangers got on the board first in that one, and then I think Columbus scored 6 straight goals, and, you know, everyone was freaking out about Shesterkin, who's one of those guys where, you know, oh no, Capo Keiko, at least we have Igor, at least we have, you know, Krabstop and Fox. And that first game was pretty brutal. Like, the only shining lights were really, like, in my opinion, Brett Kemp and Fox. Brett Kemp had 2 goals, a free agent invite. And then in the second game, Rangers won 7-4 over Dallas, as I said, and Fox just had a ridiculously good game. He had 2 goals and 3 assists, so he was just unbelievable. Kravtsov had 3 assists, and it was a nice, and Huska was in net this time around. It felt good. And then today, Joe, today we got our boy. Today we got Capo Keiko. And even though, in my opinion, I know Adam shares this belief, I just read his analysis up on Banter of the third game of Traverse City. Keiko kind of, like you said, he had a quiet first 20 minutes, but I would argue I think he was still battling something, because he looked like he was playing with like half a gas tank to me. Like, he just looked a little sluggish sometimes, looked a little slow. And then just at the start of that third period, Rangers had that 5-minute power play. He gets back-to-back power play assists, 1 primary, 1 secondary, on 2 Kravtsov power play goals in 1:38. And then with, I think, like 99 seconds left in regulation, he gets a primary assist on kind of a sloppy goal by, I think it was Newell, who scored to tie the game up. And then in overtime, Joe, he just skated around everyone on the 3-on-3. I think it was his second or third shift. I forget which one, but it was unbelievable watching what he was able to do. And it was so great to me because we've seen him do that in highlights before, the way he uses his body to shield the puck and to move around when he has that open ice to work with, and the way he, you know, creates offense by going behind the net. We've seen it over and over again in the highlights. And now we saw it with him in a Rangers jersey, and it was pretty damn great.
He literally scored a goal the way that, I don't know how many of you played NHL 94, which is kind of taken the rounds as like the great vintage hockey game, but there was a glitch in the game where if you went behind the net and you skated, what did you say, you son of a bitch?
The goalie would get caught up on the right, post.
You knew exactly what I was talking about. I'm impressed. Yeah. If you skated all the way to the right past the net and then all the way back to the left, the goalie would get caught on the post. So it was unstoppable. The goalie would always get caught. You can go around and you could just score, and it was great.
All day.
That is literally, he looked like he was playing against 14-year-olds. And he's sick. They didn't even know if he was playing today. He just, but like, he went around the net twice. Nobody could touch him. Just, look, we're gonna talk about everybody. I have a stock report that's going to go up, that will likely go up tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. But the reality of the situation is, Kaapo Kakko was the best player on the ice, no holds bar, and that is incredibly impressive for a guy who could not play the past two games. I don't even know if he was practicing with them. This is the first time that he's gotten into a game with these guys. He looks great with Krovstov. Krovstov's ability to find open space is just, it's magnified by the fact that
it was so great to see, because Krovstov kind of had something, I would say a little bit of a quiet first game in Traverse City, and I got the feeling that maybe there was a little extra pressure on him with Kaapo out of the lineup. And then game two, he had 3 assists, and you could see him really start to make little moves and show those little flashes. And in today's game, Joe, he was sensational. It's not just the fact that he scored 2 power play goals in, like, you know, a minute and 40 seconds. He also was making all sorts of moves, making great plays, you know, beating guys one-on-one. I think he drew at least 1, maybe 2 penalties, as did Kaapo Kakko, by the way. And to see him kind of find that confidence in the same game that we saw, you know, Kaapo Kakko finally, you know, get delivered to us was pretty great. And it almost didn't, like, Fox was so good the rest of this tournament that it didn't really bother me that he took, like, a bad penalty and had a pretty quiet game by his standards, because the Kaapo Kakko show was worth the wait.
I thank God he did really well today. Well, yesterday, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, because the way that this fan base reacted to game one was,
and Igor in particular,
we warned you. We told you,
especially for a goalie.
We tried to explain this to you, and instead of listening, y'all panicked. You panicked. It's okay. It's all right. This tournament means nothing. It literally means nothing.
Joe, you know how many goalies who played more than one game in Traverse City had an above 900 save percentage?
0.
2. Only 2.
Was Igor one of them?
No. Igor finished with an 816 save percentage.
It's impossible to... This is not a situation where, for a goalie, you're looking at stats. There's a reason why no one's really tracking advanced metrics for a tournament like this, or if someone is, you know, by all means. Yeah. But it's just not... This is not something to get worked up about. You can get hyped about it. You can get excited about it. Even that needs to be taken with a grain of salt. But this is not something to get, like, mad about, to be panicking about. I think I tweeted that we unanimously, last Thursday, supported the fact that the New York Rangers were they were the top prospect farm system ranked by any respectable evaluator. 24 hours later, people were willing to burn the farm system to the ground because the Rangers were losing to Columbus, I believe, in the first game of the Traverse City. I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
Yeah, that was... I don't know. Maybe it's just the long wait. People, like, they're hyped up. They want to see hockey. And, you know, Brett Kemp scored, you know, the first goal of the game. And, you know, it took a little while for that game to heat up. And then at the end of that first period, everything unraveled. And the thing that was most frustrating to me is everything we talked about, Joe, is like, there's no structure. How many goddamn breakaways and 2-on-1s did Igor face in the two games he played in, especially against Columbus? Like, it was just wide open. Like, teams were just flying. And I think it's also worth saying that the Rangers definitely missed Kaapo Kakko in those first two games because they had so much talent on that blue line in terms of the guys they were able to dress. Although it's interesting that Igor Rykov wasn't in the lineup for tonight's game. He was a healthy scratch. But looking at like what was there on the blue line compared to what we had in terms of forwards, the vast majority of the free agent invites were forwards. And those who weren't free agent invites were, there was also, you know, sprinkled in there were a bunch of guys who were on, you know, Hartford contracts, you know, and you know, it was pretty much like Kravtsov and Henrik Karlsson, like, you know, and what the Rangers had after that. And Brett Kemp really impressed among those free agent invites, but was it Demolski, or I can never say his name right. He also played pretty well.
One of the points I think we have to make.
He had 2 goals and assists in 3 games, so he had a good first 3 games in Traverse City.
The only players you really give a shit about in this tournament are the players that we've talked about already. All the invites, fine. They're there to kind of fill roles. It's Fox, Kravtsov, it's Kakko, it's Rykov, it's... Who am I missing? Henriksen. Am I missing anyone else?
Yeah, we wanted to see Matthew Robertson.
Yeah, Matthew Robertson's the other one. Like, those are the ones where...
And Tarmo Roinen, I thought, played...
Oh, and you're correct. Those are the ones that you really wanted to look at. Like, the rest, it just doesn't... There's not really... Nobody is making a name for themselves in this tournament. They're free agent invites for roster spots to be filled. It's just... The guys that we've wanted to see have played really, really well in this tournament. Mm. And I don't think anybody's really stood out in a bad way. Shesterkin, I guess we have to start calling him Shesterkin because that's the way he changed his name. He's getting a lot of flack for... Listen, did he give up a couple of soft goals? Sure. I don't think that's insane to say. I just see my son's pissed about it. He doesn't understand. I just don't necessarily think that you can use this tournament for a really good evaluation. You can't really use it for a really bad evaluation, but Mike, correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't seen anything that we would consider really bad from the guys that we needed to be good.
Yeah, I agree with that. There is nothing there that was alarming to me in like any way, shape, or form. There were little things like, oh, you know, some things like, you know, mistakes on 2-on-1s, you know, every once in a while. You'd see Adam Fox make a jump and maybe not get there all the way. And, you know, a lot of times where the D would kind of leave each other stranded now and then. But none of that is surprising, considering the fact that these guys were just kind of thrown on the ice, you know, together for, you know, a week essentially of hockey with, you know, practicing in 3 games. And, you know, we know that...
No cohesiveness whatsoever.
Yeah, I think that especially shows up in things like, you know, D pairs and coverage assignments, especially, you know, in transition where the Rangers got smoked the first 3 games of Traverse City, you know, before their placement game, which...
Again, to be expected. Certainly to be expected.
Yeah, it's all to be expected, and, you know, I would have liked to see, you know, some better play out of those guys who, you know, you and I were just kind of like, oh yeah, and also we want to see, you know, Carl Henriksen, you know, play well, and Matthew Robertson, yada, yada, yada. But like...
Joey Keane, you know, forgot about him.
Yeah, but I really feel like that first game, it was almost just like, throw it away. It was so sloppy from both teams, and it just so happened that, you know, Dallas was the team that ended up lighting the lamp more. It was just a crazy game without a lot of structure. And, you know, so it was not obviously Igor Shesterkin's best performance, but like I said, he faced a ton of breakaways, ton of odd man rushes. So
yeah, I would not be worried about Shesterkin at all.
I'm not quick to, like, hang that loss on him. Because the other thing is, Joe, it's a loss, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you want to lose these games. You just want to see these guys.
Just like the final 10 minutes of the Giants game yesterday, it just doesn't fucking matter. That's why you should have put Daniel Jones in, you pieces of shit, earlier.
Ooh.
I mean, the best part about the Giants season is the fact that the Rangers season is right around the corner. So That's,
oh, yeah, I don't know. Saquon Barkley is fun as hell to watch.
Yeah, well, too bad he doesn't get the goddamn ball. All right, that's enough. That's enough football talk on this podcast. We stick to one sport here, and that is the sport of lovemaking. The other, if you're going to talk about Kako playing really well, we kind of touched on the fact that Kravtsov looked really good. I mean, Adam Fox, we talked about all the reasons why he was not necessarily somebody that we were expecting an enormous jump from, for legitimate reasons where it's very hard to play defense in this tournament. And, you know, it's hard for an offensive puck mover like him to really do damage without some gelling with his line mates.
He was
5-point night in game two. I think he had at least an assist in game three. It's hard to find official stats. I mean, yeah,
it's hard to find reliable.
He is having legitimately an unbelievable tournament top to bottom. In that disaster that was game one, Fox was the team's best player. He was probably their best player in game two. And aside from Kako and Kravtsov, he was third best player in game three. Talk about it, Mike.
Well, these are, you know, these stats come with an asterisk. It's on the point streaks stats. And, you know, after three games, it's Fox and Kravtsov leading the team in points 5-5. But what stands out to me is Adam Fox in three games had 13 shots, Joe. 13 shots to lead
the team.
And when you, like, watching him play, especially in that first game, like I said, where it was so sloppy and the structure was so bad, I think he was the best player on the ice for both teams, really. Like, maybe, you know, Texier was pretty good on Columbus, which is not surprising because Columbus had, a lot of guys who actually had a little taste of NHL, if not AHL experience on their roster, whereas the Rangers only had, you know, a little sprinkling of that, if at all, with their guys like Newell and Elmer. But, and Joey Keane, for that matter, too, actually. But, like, looking at what Fox was able to do is, his ability to read and react, like, when he had the puck on his stick, it just seemed like everyone paid, like, the game changes every time he gets the puck on his stick. He just looked light years ahead of everyone else around him. And that was just, that was a story in game one and game two. And the best part to me, Joe, was it wasn't just the power play. He did it even strength too. And he was, like, every once in a while, he would just go end to end. I know what happened in the power play in game three where he just went end-to-end. It was a Rangers power play, but he just effortless zone entry. Just, I really didn't appreciate how good of a skater he is. And, you know, maybe he just looked really good compared to these guys as opposed to NHL-caliber skaters, but holy hell, is he fun to watch and creative, and this guy has all the makings of, like, a truly elite power play quarterback. Like, someone who can make, you know, Anthony DeAngelo become, like, an afterthought, you know, within a couple of years' time. That's how good Fox is with the puck on a stick. It's unreal.
I've been just incredibly impressed at the fact that there are so many reasons to not play well in a tournament like this for Fox, but kind of forget about him. For Kravtsov, too, first time on North American ice, which for a forward is a big deal because it's a lot smaller.
Everyone's got a game plan for you.
Right. People are prepared. There's no more Kako, so you're really the goal scorer on the first line. And it's really good to see that he's kind of standing out, and you did expect it in a sense, as much as you could talk about how there's plenty of reasons why a guy like him would not succeed. There's plenty of reasons why he would, too. He's played 2 years in the KHL. He's a monster. So I really like the chemistry with him and Kako. Fuck, maybe we could see him on a line with Hedel and Kako. I don't know. That would be crazy. But I genuinely...
Down the road, sign me up.
I genuinely think that the New York Rangers, they have something in Kravtsov. And look, not necessarily because he looks good in Traverse City, but because this is a kid who theoretically is ready to make the jump to the NHL, you should expect him to do really well in this tournament. And he has been. And it's really nice to see. Seeing Fox do the same thing is great.
Yeah, that's something I feel like we should definitely point out, is after, you know, all the placement games are done, Joe, and Chase Pearson of Detroit led everyone in points with 6. He had 4 goals and 2 assists. Among these 6 guys, I think, that were tied for second in points with 5 points were Fox and Kravtsov. And Kravtsov had as many points as Filip Zadina. Like, that's really good news for the Rangers. And, you know, he And, you know, and of course, you know, this is just counting stats, but just looking at what he was able to do, like, you know, outshining guys like Ty Dellandre and, you know, like, being able to make that impact when he had to adjust. And of course, you know, there's a little bit of extra pressure on him. And, you know, I think it's safe to say that he is, generally speaking, a kind of a playmaker, creative guy first over a finisher. And seeing him score back-to-back power play goals like that and draw those penalties, man, that was so nice to see. And it just made me feel like, you know, he did, I think the first time he went down in that in the third period there, and he looked to the ref, he was trying to get a call, and that might be something he has to adjust to, is, you know, the physical aspect of the game. So if he has a super quiet first 20 games of his rookie season at the NHL level, I'm not going to sweat it, because he has to learn that stuff. But he has a big frame, you know, he just needs to add some muscle, and when that happens, I think everything's going to be fine. I think right now he's listed at 6'3", 183, and, you know, when you watch him, like, even a super sick Kaapo Kakko had guys bouncing off of him in today's game, whereas, you know, Kravtsov, when he was drawing penalties, he was ending up down on the ice, and you want to see guys draw penalties because that means they're putting defenders in bad positions where they have to take penalties, but you want them to stay on their skates if they can. And, you know, that may be the only real criticism I had of his game, is I just wish he had a little better strength and balance when he was making those moves on the outside. But, God, he was creative. He was making, like, smart passes into dangerous areas. And, you know, when Kakko was kind of quiet through the first 40 minutes, that was when Kravtsov was shining. And then in that early third period, just bang, bang, two power play goals back to back. And
set up by Kakko himself.
Yeah, just like that, he tied with Fox for points through the first three games. So love to see that. Love to see him show that. And, like, I don't think it's a stretch for us to assume this guy is right on the fringe or NHL ready. But the bottom line is, like, some of these kids who are going to be in the, you know, training camp and, you know, the preseason and the first games of the regular season, not everyone has to be, like, being NHL ready is not a black and white thing. Like, you need seasoning, and maybe he needs some seasoning in the AHL, and that's fine. But if he doesn't end up playing most of the season at the NHL level this year, I'd be really, really surprised.
Yeah, and the Rangers are in a position where it you know, sort of does not matter. Again, we're not fully expecting the Rangers to maybe be Stanley Cup contenders this year. So this is an opportunity for the Rangers to just kind of play these guys.
A lot has to go crazy for them to be a wild card team.
Yeah, 100%. So there's just not much that you got to give some of these kids the same conversation that we had with Elias Andersson and Brett Howden and Filipito last year. You got to give them some time to marinate. They're very good at what they do. Kakko is really the only one that, like, and even him to an extent, you got to back up on. But if Kakko goes out there and he has 15 points this year, yeah, that's a disappointing season for Kakko.
Yeah, but if he ends up with, like, you know, 38 instead of 60.
No, that's fine. That's totally fine. There's definitely hard lines in the sand where, you know, I would expect him to put up anywhere between 30 and 50 points, and I think that's fine. I mean, you can go down the list of players who have become stars in the NHL that have not had great, especially at his age. But all the signs point to the fact that he is going to be somebody who's going to be able to step up right away. Michael, before we go any further, you know what we're going to do?
What are we going to do, buddy?
We're going to wait until the 24-minute mark, and we're going to give a word to our sponsors. So Michael and I will be right back. And now we're back.
I don't know what product that was, Joe, but goddamn do I love it.
I don't know either. We did this last week. We're kind of going in blind on this one. And it was a Hooters. It was an ad for Hooters. So
this week I'm going to guess it's for Stay Puffed Marshmallows.
Puffed marshmallows?
No, Stay Puffed.
Oh, Stay Puffed. I was going to say, is the state puffing marshmallows?
Yeah, State Farm Insurance Agency marshmallows.
That's interesting. Okay. Let's talk about Michael Haley.
Yeah, about that.
I kind of don't give a shit.
I don't... I mean, you should give a shit. It's part of our job to give a shit.
There was a lot of anger. There's no, who gives a shit? This is either to scare Lemieux into taking his just qualifying offer.
Yeah, QO, yeah.
Or the Rangers legitimately think that he's a good hockey player that they want. I mean, didn't the Rangers invite him last year? Wasn't Michael Haley a Ranger at one point?
He was a Ranger at one point, buddy.
I think he was an invite last year, too. I'm almost positive.
Well, it's...
I'm going to look it up right now. Terrible podcasting.
I'll keep talking. He was a Ranger a couple seasons ago. He
played against the Islanders, I think.
And he had... Yeah, well, he obviously made his name in the NHL with the Islanders. Then he ended up with the Rangers and then was with the Sharks for the past couple seasons as a...
Oh, shit. He's played in 248 NHL games.
Yeah, he's actually been around.
Cup of coffee.
Yeah. I wrote a little bit up about him. Like, it's hard to believe he's already 33. You know, and 31 points in his career and 637 penalty minutes. So you get an idea of what sort of player he is. But as Joe mentioned, like, this is a guy who, like, let's be real here. He's here to put pressure on Brendan Lemieux. And maybe, you know, this is the front office's way of saying, you know, we want a guy like that in camp. You know, especially with those young guys. Maybe there's a quote-unquote old school good idea to have that sort of guy who's just there, like, I'm going to earn my living in the NHL the hard way. And being around a bunch of kids who have had natural skill or, you know, have worked on their skill game and may not be as accustomed to, you know, working your ass off, ending up in the, you know, locker room during intermission, wiping blood off your knuckles or face. Like, there's other ways to make it in the NHL. And Michael Haley is kind of a relic of that. Like I mentioned, he's 33 already, which really surprised me when I wrote up the newser for him. It also surprised me that his name is spelled M-I-C-H-E-A-L. I remember
just all you Michaels spelling your name stupidly to confuse us.
Yeah. I remember my my teachers used to give me shit when I was little because I used to do that every once in a while. But you know, this is a team, Joe, that's only... You know, it's pretty recent. They had Cody McLeod, and they re-signed Cody McLeod, and
then traded Cody McLeod for a second.
And they had they also had you know who it was? It was Bobby Farnham. They gave a PTO.
Yeah, you're right. Just remember the fact that he was a Ranger, and now I see that he was a Ranger for 2 years. He played 9 games, 2012 to 2013, 69 nice with the Connecticut Whale, and then he was an assistant captain for the Hartford Wolfpack the year after, 2013-14. Then lot of time in San Jose, Florida.
That's probably why he's got the invite. Is the fact that he's known to the organization. We see
the Rangers are not very creative.
And you know. I understand why people would be like, what the hell is this? Especially...
What the hell is this?
But, like you said, it's not a big deal. This only becomes a big deal if we hear scuttlebutt about him getting offered, you know, a veteran minimum to stick around. Or, you know, maybe he's just trying to say, like, I just want to try and be a 13th, 14th NHL forward who plays primarily in the AHL at this stage of his career. I don't know what Michael Haley wants. I don't know what the Rangers want here.
Michael Haley wants a shot at the show.
Yeah, Michael Haley wants to stay in the show.
The Rangers want somebody who's going to come fill in and play a couple of games in the preseason and maybe throw the gloves down a bit and then hopefully just send him away. I mean, it would be insane. Like, that was my reaction was, listen, if you want to be mad about this, be mad about this in October if he's still on the team. For right now, it is what it is. Who gives a shit?
This is just, to me, it's, like, I understand people getting a little prickly about it, but it's business as usual. This is just a guy who's in training camp. There's nothing that says he's going to stick around. There's nothing that says he's going to take away an opportunity from a kid. Maybe there's something about Michael Haley we don't know, that he has that, like, perfect mixture of character traits that makes him, like, an ideal guy to have in training camp. Who the hell knows, Joe, right? But... you know, Karp reported this first, and, you know, it's no surprise. You know, I don't know why I bothered to look at it, but I looked up, his underlying numbers, he's not good. He's not a very good...
He's good at what he does.
For a fourth liner, he scores well below average the replacement level for a fourth liner, and, you know, what he brings is hitting people and punching when necessary.
Maybe
that's what the Rangers want in training camp in the preseason.
Yeah, well...
Gotta protect the kids,
Gotta protect the kiddos.
He's a crossing guard for the kids.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
You know, get him an orange vest and a little stop sign with a popsicle stick.
Helps the kids across the street and then maybe tells them a joke or something as they go.
Yeah.
I don't know. We had a crossing guard that used to... She would... Our middle school and high school were across the street from one another, and she would just cross people all the time, even high schoolers. Like, seniors in high school would get crossed by the crossing guard. That's my story about that.
Crossing guards make good money, is the things I wonder.
I have a coworker. I'm not going to use her name. Her grandma, the town...
Bernadette.
Her name. The town Bernadette. Sign... Wouldn't it be funny if her name was actually Bernadette, though?
I haven't met a Bernadette.
Neither have I. So you can confidently... So we'll call her Bernadette because it's not Bernadette. The town petitioned, like, the school district to have her fired because her grandmother on multiple occasions fell asleep while being a crossing guard.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. That's hardcore right there. You're so... You need your nap, so you just nap while, you know, kids are crossing the street. It's fine. It's all fine. Okay.
They played Frogger. They're going to be fine.
Yeah, they know. Well, we played Frogger. You learn how to just leap around traffic. I don't know if the kids these days did.
My dentist's office had
Frogger, I think. They don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of Frogger, to be completely honest with you.
Neither was I. It was just one of those things where everyone was good to the first 5 minutes, and then everything fell to shit, and you're like, this is just impossible. This is just epilepsy, the game.
Yeah, wow.
Just panic attacks.
I was thinking about Dot Hack recently. You ever played Dot Hack?
Oh, I know of it. I had friends who played it.
Yeah, it's a great game. Old school game, but a great game.
Oh, Joe, we forgot the other Rangers news. Former Ranger Tom Laidlaw is going to be on Survivor.
I didn't even know he was a... Like, I don't know who that guy is.
Well, he was well before our time. He wore number 2 before Brian Leach.
Oh, well, it's blasphemous.
He was honored as the 87th greatest Ranger in the book 100 Rangers Greats.
Oh, he must have been pretty good then.
Yeah, he was pretty good. He was a defenseman. You know, a former... I think he was like a former 6th-round pick, 93rd overall in the 1978 draft, which is why you and I... You know, he's a name that I'm familiar with, but I don't know his history with the Rangers specifically. But he's now 60 years old, and he's the first former NHLer that's going to be on Survivor, which I honestly didn't know was still on television.
Yeah, I sell television, and that's the only reason why I know it. All right, final topic.
Yeah.
For the flagship show, Lemieux, D'Angelo, what the fuck?
That's kind of where things stand right now, is what the fuck.
And they're not, it's not even the crate. Like, Laine is still a restricted free agent. Braden Point is still not signed. Mitch Marner is still not signed.
Yeah, we've seen, like, Clayton Keller has signed a big extension, which is...
Can we just say...
And you know what? Jake Gardner signed.
He did. He signed a...
He was the best UFA left, and he signed a great little sweetheart of a deal.
Yeah, for Carolina. Did you know that Clayton Keller was kind of bad? I didn't know that.
I knew his underlying numbers weren't great, but I thought to myself, one, Arizona, two, he's young.
What does the Arizona thing mean?
Well, you know, Arizona hasn't won a lot of hockey games.
Just. Well, yeah, they have to keep him. They don't have a choice.
Yeah, I didn't realize his underlying numbers were...
Yeah, his defensive metrics are like, legitimately...
Yeah, we're...
Soul-crushing.
Yeah, pretty alarming, I would say. It's going to be interesting to me what happens if they put, you know, they got Kessel now, and he's not exactly known for being a
great defense,
the greatest defensive player. So, best of luck to Derek Stepan. We love you, and
my boy,
keep your chin up.
He knows what it's like. He's done that before on Broadway. What is happening? Like, what could Lemieux really think is going to happen at this point? Does he really think he's earned?
Marinsky was a big RFA.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He just signed today. Yeah,
I forgot him, but yeah, he was the other big one. So, like, there's a trickle, Joe, but still fucking nobody, really, is the answer. Like, there's, like you said, Laine, Matthew Tkachuk, Brock Besser, McAvoy, Rantanen, Braden Point, Kyle Connor, like, Mitch Marner, obviously, the biggest name on the list, just, oh, boy. And, of course, D'Angelo and Lemieux. What are you saying? Like, what is Lemieux hoping for here? I don't know. Like, he is a, like, give him $1 million, call it a day.
I don't even, I mean, I understand why the Rangers are holding tight to their the qualifying offer deal, because they do not have the money. They don't have the money to kind of go crazy here. But Lemieux, what are you holding out for? I mean, like, what does he expect?
Yeah, the thing that kills me with him is he, in 72 NHL games, he has 13 goals, which you're like, oh, all right. But then 5 assists and 129 penalty minutes. So, you know, like, what is that? Like, what does that equal in dollars? And he was, you know, a very early second-round pick, like the first pick of the second round in the 2014 draft by Buffalo. But this is a guy who's moved around. And this is a guy who, you know, played 19 games with the team he's with now. And he knows that this team is, you know, cap-strapped. He knows that he's not an important player in for this team in like, the big picture.
I don't think he knows that.
Yeah, that's the thing that I...
Because then he'd be here.
To. I think he's under the impression that... Or at least him and his father, who's his agent. Like, they're under the impression that he was the big piece involved in that... you know, in the trade for... You know, the Kevin Hayes trade, as opposed to the first rounder, which obviously was the main asset there. Because Brendan Lemieux is not worth the first... Like, he was completely overshadowed by the value of that 20th overall pick that the Rangers got in that Kevin Hayes trade, which, of course, they used to flip back to Winnipeg to get Jacob Trouba. Brendan Lemieux is not that important. Like, and I'm not saying he can't be a perfectly good bottom six NHL forward, but he's not the sort of guy who we should end up in a contract holdout with.
No, and it's shocking that he's even in this position, to be completely honest. Yeah,
that's the real thing here. I think you might have hit the nail on the head with the fact that he might think he is that player. Like, he has
Sean Avery in his prime, he held out for a reason, and I get it. I understand that.
But Sean Avery was the only, like, Sean Avery game in
town. 100%, and it's different now. And I listen, I'm not trying to disparage, like, listen, Lemieux, get your money. I mean, we've seen...
Yeah, please go get your money.
We've seen across sports lines with Andrew Luck retiring and... just this contemplation of, you know, players getting what they need out of the game and then backing away. It's not easy, but by the same token, I don't know what he's expecting. And I don't know what the Rangers, like, it's very weird to me that they've reached this point, right? They've reached the point where we're almost at training camp.
Yeah.
And these negotiations have not gone out and become public. And that's strange. It really is strange to me. Because you would think somebody would be upset on some side and they would release something, and they're not.
Yeah, of the remaining RFAs, Joe, I just checked. There's him and Saku Menelainen from Carolina, who's 25, who played in 34 games last season. After Menelainen, Lemieux is the lowest scoring guy among the RFA forwards who are left in terms of points per game. He had 17 points in 63 games
last year. Yeah, like, we know why you're here, Lemieux. He had
12 goals, which is very nice and respectable, but 5 assists. He's a one-trick pony. Like, he scores goals, he agitates. That's his game.
Which, when done properly, there is an immense amount of value.
And it has value, but I don't think you can negotiate in, like, a... Or, like, you can angle as successfully for, you know, getting a pay bump when you're that player as opposed to your Pavel Buchnevich.
Right, and here's the point that I was going to make. Lemieux has value. Players like that have value. But the value is cheap. Like, Lemieux, the benefit of Lemieux is the fact that if he's even, you know, a tenth of the player that you kind of hope he would be, right? Yeah. He's not Sean Avery, but if he's half of Sean Avery, there's value to having him because then the Rangers don't have somebody else. They don't have a Tanner Glass. They have somebody who can actually play. Yeah, and that's immensely valuable to this organization. The flip side is Lemieux's talents and skill sets are cheap. Now, there's immense value in having him around, even slightly overpaid, because it keeps you away from players who cannot play. But Lemieux slightly overpaid is like a $1.1 million deal. And I think he thinks he deserves that and more. You know, he's doing the team a bargain. So
I don't think he and his agent realize that he's going to...
Well, his father.
Yeah, he's angling for probably a contract with term. There's no way he doesn't end up with a show-me deal.
Yeah, I would.
And the Rangers are in a position where they have enough guys, like, you know, the Greg McKeggs and Boone Evises of the world. They can move forward without Brendan Lemieux.
I 100% agree. I really think is a completely different case. I don't know what the deal is with D'Angelo. I don't know what
we went over this a lot last week's show, but it's still...
It's just weird that it's a week later and we still don't have an answer on D'Angelo.
Yeah, but, you know, that was weird last week and the week before that, you know, it's been just completely silent. And, you know, as we see some of these deals get done with these RFAs, like... You know, D'Angelo by no means is the biggest name on this list, and he's also by no means the biggest RFA defenseman on this list. Like, there's, you know, Brandon Carlo, Charlie McAvoy, and Ivan Provorov, who are all also RFAs. And D'Angelo is older than all of them. So, you know, he's... And, you know, obviously he has the, you know, the baggage in terms of the amount of times he's moved around attached to him, which... would lead you to believe that he and his agent would be maybe a little understanding of a, you know, a 1-year deal where he does get paid, not like, you know, a complete kid, but he gets some money, but not enough money to, you know, like, feel really stable or whatever, because he was on his entry level, because it slid 2 years, Joe. So this would be his first contract outside of his entry-level contract, and I don't think he also doesn't want to settle for just that 1-year deal, but that's what the Rangers are going to be able to afford and are going to be able to give him.
Right, they're but again, like, it's bizarre that there's no public negotiations. The Rangers used Larry Brooks as a vertical for, or a vehicle for just almost everything. Buying out Shattenkirk, going through all these different things that they were going to do. And literally nothing has come out about these negotiations, and I find that astounding. I really do. It's just crazy to me.
I'm surprised both sides haven't... Neither side has, like, turned to the media.
That's exactly what I'm... Especially in D'Angelo's case. Like, hey, listen, we think we deserve X, and we're not getting it, so, you know, we're going to...
Call up Elliot Friedman, you know, let him know, like,
drop a line. Yeah, I'm pissed. I mean, it's not the biggest news in the world to those guys, but... leave 5 stars on this show. Leave a review. That would be very nice if you did that stuff.
If you were owed a mug or stickers, everyone who is due a mug or stickers, it's in the mail.
So here's the thing. Mike has been...
takes a minute for the mugs to get there.
But Mike has been stealing money from this show for years. Okay? Sure. This is a $1 million show, and I've seen maybe $50 from this show.
You think Black Tar Horse is cheap?
What is Black Tar Horse?
Apparently the street name for heroin is horse.
Really? See, how would you even know that?
I watched a lot of true crime crap.
That's interesting. What were you... You were involved in the government in another show, weren't you? I want to say something
black
about...
Black Tar Heroin.
Oh, you were so using other people's penises. That was it.
With Black Tar Horse.
Yeah, that was what it was. Leave a nice...
My new Reddit username, Black Tar Horse.
Leave a nice review, 5 stars. A lot of you have gone and done that. Thank you. It helps other people find us. That stuff is important for growing the show.
If you can chip into Patreon, do so. If you can't, I still love you.
You know what? If you can't, I think we got a pretty serious problem because Mike is pissed.
You think Black Tar Horse comes cheap?
And this Saturday, if you are listening to this the week of the 9th, Saturday the 14th, do you have plans? No, you don't have plans because you're listening to a podcast, so that immediately means that you have no plans. If you could just get out of your mother's basement for a few hours.
You're getting on the subway.
Okay, just get out of the basement, apply the sunscreen because you don't have... Your skin's not ready for the sun yet, so that's kind of a problem for you.
Fuck, the weather is finally cooling down.
It's going to be a little cooler. You won't be sweating as much. That's good. You're going to meet us, okay, at the gin mill. You hear me? And you're going to come, and Mike and I are going to be doing a live podcast with the Blue Shirts Breakaway Boys. And Mike is going to be shirtless. He's agreed to this already. It's a verbal contract. He's going to be blasting the nips. So if you want Mike's blasted nips,
I will not be shirtless.
You come to, he's admitting that he'll be shirtless. You come to the show, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that.
Joe, you want to know what's on their slider menu?
Sure.
Fucking delicious shit. There's a slider sampler. 8 sliders.
A slider sampler?
two each of pulled pork, CB, Californian mac and cheese.
Ooh, little California mac and cheese.
A CB slider is topped with cheddar and bacon.
Mmm, that sounds good. So yeah, like come.
Yeah.
Come to the show, okay?
It's got sports crap on the walls. It's a fun little place. Wood floors.
Sports crap all over the walls.
That's what you need to know.
That's what you need to know, all right? The floors are a little sticky, but
sports
it's
sports crap, good friends.
Adam Nowick.
If Joe reaches for my shirt, I'm going to punch him right in the duodenum.
Mike's going to be shirtless, blasting the nips. Adam Nowick, Aiden Gaspar, Alex Gardner, Amiel Kistner, Andre Shkagoff, Anthony Viola, Arch Williams, Bob Kawa, Bobby Callahan, Chris Habibi, Chris Lucas, Chris O'Connor, CJ Viola. I'm sorry, CJ Vivola, Clark Carroll, Craig Loshlim, Dan Carosi, Dan Sapor. Sapor? Dan Sapor?
Zapor, I feel like
he's told me how to say that. Yes, Sapor. Zapor? Has he corrected you? There's a C there, man. I don't know. Daniel DeJean, Danny Santiago, David L. Singer, Eric Cohn, Eric Carlson, Fancy Lawrence, Gabriel Vargas, 50, Igor Zatlovsky, James Dangles, Jeffrey Stein, Jermaine Francis, John Prepzepelski. I've been telling you to tell me how to say your name. What are you saying?
Prepzepelski.
Prepzepelski. Johnny P. John Reppy, Johnny Lowe, Jordan Sassone, Joshua Zarkin, Keith Franchillo, Manny from South Carolina, Matt from Brooklyn, Guy from Montana, Michael Canick, Michael Marcus, Michael Scott, Michael Silvers, Panarin 2020, Patrick Landolt, Sammy Vogel,
Seidenberg.
Yeah, some of these names go too long. Stephanie Benvengo, Stink Fleeman, Tall Guy Robert, The Tin Man, Thomas Osa, Next Page, Trevor Kempner, and WMM339. Thank you all for being patrons. You guys should all be patrons. And if you're not, Mike is not going to put his nips out for the show. Goodbye.